Hello everybody and welcome back to the second season of the UX Research Club, the podcast that is dedicated to the rising field of user research. This is Emmanuel, your host. Who is this show for? It is for everyone actually, everyone interested in UX, product development, digital transformation. Whether you are working in a large organization or for a startup, this podcast is for you. You can also find a lot of information about user research by reading my book, Practical User Research, which covers how to integrate user research to your product development. Details will be in the description of this podcast. I would like to say a big thank you to all of you which have been encouraging me and sending me messages of support following the first season release. And I can see that the UX Research Club is getting more and more listeners. This podcast is not only to evangelize UX research, but also to support the UX research community. I'm doing this on the side of my current work, and it takes quite a bit of time and energy to create, record, edit, and release the episode. So if you like or if you want to support the UX Research Club, you can start by giving some stars. We really love stars. You can also talk to your colleagues, friends, and team members about the UX Research Club. You can also write a review and share it on your social media, inviting people to listen to it. And you can also buy me a coffee. The link is in the description of the podcast. Based on your feedback and the question that I received, I decided to talk about the different steps that you need to follow to conduct a UX research project. While doing a user research project, it is important to follow systematic processes such as preparing a plan, identifying your participant/respondent, collecting the data, analyzing them, extracting and interpreting your data to translate them into actionable insight, as well as communicating them to your stakeholders. As there is so much to cover to conduct a research project, I will propose three different episodes to cover all the steps. In today's episode, we will be covering the research plan, starting by defining what a research plan is, why we are doing it before starting any project, and what should be included to your research plan. In last episode, season 2, episode 1, I need some UX research, where do I start? Was more relevant to product manager, designer, or business owners. Today's episode, as you will see, will be more relevant to people that will actually be doing the research themselves. So it is primarily addressed to researchers, but also to people that will conduct the research if they don't have any researcher in house. Let's start with planning your research. Planning or preparing for any research project is essential. I've seen so many organizations skipping this phase. The planning phase is, in my opinion, one of the most important steps of any research project. Could you imagine any medical, psychological, or social research without any plan or protocol? In UX research, we call it a research plan. The UX research plan will, of course, be more digestible than a medical one, but the main thing to remember is preparing a research plan is the first step of your UX research project. Based on the BPS, British Psychological Society, 2014, a research plan is defined as a document which specifies for a research project the procedure for recruiting participants and gathering and managing data with which all project staff agree to comply. A research plan, in another word, is a detailed document that outlines the objective, methodology, timeline, and budget of a research project. It serves as a roadmap for conducting the research and helps researchers to stay on track and achieve their goals. A research plan typically includes the following components. One, the background information about the project, things which have been done before. Two, the aim of the research. Why are we doing the research and what are the objectives? Three, research question or hypothesis. Any high-level question that actually the stakeholder want to get some answers or any hypothesis and they want validation or no validation. Four, the methodology. Which methodology are you going to use? Five, the participant. Which type of participant, if it's participant or respondent. Six, ethical considerations. 7, a timeline to see how long it's going to take to conduct the research. And 8, the limitation and potential challenges. Overall, a research plan is an important tool for ensuring that the research project is well planned, organized, and executed, and it will generate meaningful and valid results. The research plan document can after be shared with your stakeholder. It should show a rigorous process, and it may help people to understand what the user researcher will be doing, and it provides transparency with all the people which are going to be involved in the project. This, of course, will limit friction. By reading the research plan, your stakeholders should be able to understand what will be done during the project. The research plan is also a source of truth. In a sense, then you will have the traceability of what has been agreed upon at the beginning of the project. I've seen so many disagreements in so many occasions through the development of a research project. And without the documentation of the research plan, there is no source of truth, and this can go with a lot of friction. Stakeholders may change their mind and things may get complicated. The research plan will help you, meaning the researcher, to align with the stakeholders. The research plan will also permit other researchers, if they want to replicate your research, to follow the same procedure, the same process. I would recommend sharing your research plan as soon as possible with PM, designers, product owner, or anyone involved in the project to get some feedback. It is always good to check with them that you haven't missed anything, any question that the stakeholders wanted to cover. The research plan will definitely provide an alignment. Even if the stakeholder can give some feedback, the person in charge to create the research plan and the person that will own the research plan is the researcher. At the beginning of your research plan, you should have information about the title of your project, the name of your stakeholders, the name of the researcher or researchers, the date when you created the project, the research plan, and the version. Then you will have the following section: the background, the aim of the research question, research method, and how you will be analyzing your data, the phases, if you have several phases, the participant or respondent, depending if it's a quant or qual research, the timeline with an estimate of the date of completion, and you can also have a section with limitation and challenges that you will be anticipating. Let's start with the background section. The background section is to give the context of the project. This information generally are coming from the information from the product manager or the stakeholder that requested the research. For example, as background, you could have a product which have been launched for several months and you have some traffic on most of the page, but the analytics are showing some irregularities and that are affecting the business. This section shouldn't be a dissertation, of course, but you should have enough information for people to understand a bit of the context. It should be between 10 to 15 lines, I would say. You may also have some links to previous research, data analytics, dashboard, anything that could provide some context to the research project. Now that we have the background, we can move to the aim of the research. What do we mean by the aim of the research? But before starting with the aim of the research, I would like to differentiate goals to aims. Goals are broad and long-term outcome, while aims are more specific short-term objectives that will help to achieve, of course, a larger goal. So it is very important to make a clear statement that contains the aim, I mean the short-term objective, of your research project. In your research plan, you will make a statement of the aim of your research, and this can vary depending on the phase your project is at. If it is a discovery, an alpha, a beta, a private beta, or already live. However, in general, the main aim of the research is to systematically investigate and generate new knowledge, understanding, or insight into a particular phenomenon, problem, issue, or product. Here are some examples of aim of research that could be in your research plan. It could be exploring a topic. Research can be used to gain a better understanding of a particular topic or phenomenon. Very often, this is part of the discovery. Developing a theory. Research can be used to test existing theory or develop new one, or look at a product which is already built and try to see if something is going to be different, or try to evaluate different end-to-end journey. Identifying patterns. Research can be used to identify pattern and relationship between different variables. For example, looking at different end users and identifying systematicity and similar pattern across the participant. Testing hypotheses. Research can be used to test hypotheses and determine whether they are supported by evidences. Sometimes, because stakeholders will have some strong statement and strong hypotheses, and we need to evaluate whether or not they are valid. Solving problem. Research can be used to solve real problem. If you identify that something is not showing good analytics and you want to understand why and try to find some solution, the research can aim could be solving a problem. Of course, the aim of your project should be contextualized, and overall, the aim of the research is to increase our knowledge, our understanding of the world around us, and to use this knowledge to make informed decisions to solve problems. In a typical research project, one of the aims could be to get a better understanding of your end users and understand their needs, meaning their user needs. It could also be to evaluate the end-to-end user journey before launching a new product. Once you have defined the aim of your research project, you can start drafting the high-level research questions. Generally, I add the product manager, the designer, or any stakeholders involved in the project to complete a document in which they can make the list of all the questions they have. The question could be about their product, question they want some answer, some hypothesis they have. It could be about the users, anything in their head. They need to put all those information in a document. When I've got all this list, it's much better for us researchers to try to reorganize them, see commonalities, try to extract themes which are recurrent on the question they want to ask. Some stakeholders are very good to put all the questions and they have a very clear idea of the question they want some answers, while others need a bit of support. So therefore, you do a meeting with them and try to understand all the questions they have and start putting all those questions in the document. Or you can even organize a workshop if you've got several stakeholders and you want to make sure they are all aligned and all agreed about the question they want some answers. Why is it important to get all the research questions in a document? The main reason why we need to get all the research questions is that the research questions are the starting point for you to identify which research method you will be using for your research. If you want to have a better understanding of which method, when to use them and why, I dedicated an episode in season 1, I think it was episode 4, on this topic. So if you are interested, I recommend you to have a listen. As I mentioned earlier, the research question will permit you to identify which research method you will be using to gather the information required for your project. You can always start with high-level research questions, such as the following. Who are the users? What do you want to find out? What is the purpose of your service or your product? What are the needs of your end users? What type of information do users need to complete your task or the task? What are the blockers? What is the current client satisfaction? What do they think about the current website? What is the SUS, the system usability score? How many people are visiting your website? What do they think of the current website? How many transactions do they get monthly? How are they using the current service? How does the current service meet their user needs? How could the new service help the end users to get more natural journey? Why are they using the service? Why is there less traffic on your website? Why do some users not complete their transaction? Which type of information are users looking for, etc., etc.? The question that you are stating in your research plan still need to be high level. Don't start writing all the questions that actually the stakeholder wanted answer into the high-level research question. You can always put a link with a document with all the questions which have been listed by your stakeholders. Now that you have all your research questions, you can start looking at your research method. As mentioned in episode 4, season 1, UX research is using scientific, quantitative, and qualitative research methods to understand and evaluate how users are interacting with a product. In this section of the research plan, you can add information about the research method that you will be using and provide a couple of lines to describe the method or the methods that you are going to use for the research project and how you will be analyzing your data. I would also recommend always to try to take a 360 approach, meaning using several methodologies. Generally, I always start with the analytics. I always find that the analytics is the best starting point to do any UX research. Building relationship with the analytics team is essential to conduct good research, as you will have to go and see them all the time for them to give you and extract data that you need. I would also recommend you to do a desk research at the beginning of every research project to make sure you understand what's going on. And there's so much out there on the web where you can get some information, also get some previous research which has been done in-house or see any report which are available online. It is always good to see what is out there. Sometimes it will save you a lot of time in the long run. It will also help you to shape some of your discussion guides and shape a bit your project. Then you can move to some qualitative research. So it could be qualitative interview, user testing, which is a part of interview, a part of testing the product or testing a new design. Then you will analyze your data, and with your findings, you know, you will identify patterns and systematic finding across your participant. So then after, you can start preparing a survey, which will validate your qualitative findings with a larger sample. This is my opinion. I like doing those 360 approach because it provides some more robust findings for the stakeholders. It is always better to provide some quant supporting data to your stakeholders. They really like it. So don't forget to document the method and explain the rationale behind the one you are using. You may also break it down, your research, into multiple phases depending on the project. I remember then once we had a project with participants which were all over the world, and we look at Europe, then Asia, and then the US. Therefore, we had three phases. Now that you have your background, you have the aim of your research project, you've got the high-level research question, and you have the methodology that you are going to use, we can move to the participant or respondent. In your plan, you should mention who will be the users or the respondent that should be taking part of your research. In last season, I dedicated 2 episodes to the participant and the respondent. So it was episode 5 and episode 6. So if you're interested to have more understanding of how to recruit your participant and how to choose your samples and the size samples, etc., I will invite you to listen to this episode. So you need to state in your research plan how many participants do you want to speak with, if it's qualitative. If it's quantitative, how many respondents do you need to respond to your survey? You need to state all the information of the profile and the numbers of participants that you are looking for. You can also add how you are going to recruit them, if it is a qualitative research, and the method to get the respondent. For example, if you are going to use a recruitment agency, if you are going to use account manager internally to support you, and if it's to do a survey, if you have an internal list and we are going to use a marketing team to support you, or if you are going to use an external panel. All this need to be documented in your research plan, keeping in mind that if someone wants to redo and recreate the similar project, they can reuse all the information that you put in your research plan. I will also add a section related to the ethics, which include consent form. Information about ethics is also a very important point, which I mentioned in season 1, episode 6. This is an important topic, so please listen to it. In your research plan, you can mention that the access to the participant is respecting the code of conduct. So depending which one you are going to use, I like to follow the BPS, the British Psychological Society, which cover a lot of aspects. But you can use the one for marketing if you prefer. And you could also add a link to the consent form that you are planning to use. So like that, you have a transparency of which consent form the participant is going to sign. You may also have a NDA if you are testing something which is a prototype stage or if it's a completely new concept for your business. Don't forget to add a section about your equipment, the tool, the software, the prototype that you will require for your research. You can also add anything that you think would be important for the stakeholder to know about. So now, let's talk about the timeline. I will recommend creating a timeline which is documented in a Gantt chart or any other way some people put it in a table format. The duration of each phase will depend on the complexity of your research project and the resources available. It is important to set realistic deadlines and allow a contingency such as unexpected delays or change in research plan. Additionally, it may be useful to include regular progress, check-in and communication with stakeholders to ensure the project stays on track. This is very important for transparency and alignment in terms of the delivery of your project. Now, let's look at the risk. And I will always put a section about the risk. Several risks can arise during the UX research project, which include biased research. UX research can be biased if the research participants are not representative of the target user group, if the research methods are not rigorous, or if the research team has preconceived notions about the product or the users. Another point is poorly designed study. If the research study are not well designed, meaning design of the research, which methodology, the process, and all that, they may not provide useful insight into the user behavior or preferences. Poor study can include issues such as poorly worded question, unclear study objective, or inappropriate sample size. Another risk can be data collection issue. UX research project may face risks such as low response rate, data collection error, or problem with data quality, participant recruitment, no-show, etc. Of course, the ethical issue. UX research project may involve user data, and there may be ethical consideration and regulation that must be followed. If there is this consideration are not taken into account, it can lead to legal, reputational, and financial risk. Delay or cost overrun. UX research can often take longer and cost more than expected, leading to project delay, funding issue, or additional resource allocation. Also, we've got the dependency, product in production and awaiting for release to be able to do the testing and the research of a prototype or a live product. If the product is not ready for the research, we may have some issue which are going to cause also delays and cost overruns. So dependency is very important to notify in your research plan. Technical issue. If the UX research project involves technology, most of the time, yes, it does, there may be technical risks associated with equipment failures, data security, and software bugs. So keep in mind all of those and please record them. So the UX researcher needs to identify and mitigate all the risks as early as possible in the research project to minimize their impact. This can include developing a risk management plan, establishing clear communication and reporting protocol plan, and regularly monitoring the project progress. And don't forget to communicate all this with your stakeholder. So, in this episode, we looked at what the research plan is and why it is essential to create a research plan before starting any UX research. What should be included in your research plan, such as the background, the aim of the UX research, high-level research question, which method you will be using, and how you are going to analyze the data, as well as information about the participant, respondent, the timeline, the equipment or tool that you'll be using, the risk, and anything that you think it is important to add. And don't forget to communicate your plan and discuss it with your stakeholders. But keeping in mind, the researcher is the owner of the research plan and will decide which method and which approach are going to be the best to carry the research. Thank you for listening. enjoyed this episode today, and if you have any question or a topic you would like me to cover, you can contact me on info@uxresearchclub.com. You can also find a lot of information about user research by reading my book, Practical User Research, which covers how to integrate user research into your product development. Details will be in the description of this podcast. And finally, if you want to support the UX Research Club, please share it with your network on social media, or please write a review or give me some stars. I see you next week for a new episode, and thank you for listening, and goodbye.